Oh, you know, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and oh, yes, you know, it is that day. Jacob, chairman of the board, he's here because it's producer's choice. Jacob, how are you, man?
Hey, Tim, I'm doing good. I'm glad that you could make it here to your own show. It's always a huge pleasure for me to have you and Johnny on the Producer's Choice show, and I think we're going to have a pretty good holiday edition of the Producer's Choice. I don't want to give away what we're going to talk about, but so far, the Producer's Choice, I think I've done a good job of always bringing us back home to our holidays of the week, and this will be no exception. So, unless you have any more intro things you'd like to talk about.
I'm ready to go. I mean, holidays, I'm thinking, you know, if we're like the commercials, no, just go. I'm ready, Jacob. I'm ready. And I'm not nervous.
It's going
for Choo Choo producer, Jacob's choice, chairman of the board.
Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow! Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
All right, welcome our treasured listeners to the Friday, November 14th edition of the Producer's Choice Show here on Busted Pencils. I'm not giving anything away, guys, I think, when I say that this is the first show after Veterans Day this year. Mm-hmm. I feel we're all aware. I just want to start off with kind of a general talk about Veterans Day and the history of Veterans Day with you guys. I've got a couple questions for you guys. First of all, I'm going to start it out with, do you guys know why Veterans Day is on November 11th?
Armistice Day.
Boom!
Oh, Johnny Lupinacci with the score.
World War I, right?
Yeah.
And Armistice Day. So in honor of remembering that, we keep it on November 11th. Although, you know, it falling on a Tuesday really threw me off this year. Used to having either a long weekend, you know, that Monday that typically. Also, Veterans Day, Memorial Day always kind of blur for me. I know the differences, but I always kind of think, oh, it's a holiday to remember people in the service, you know, and then I immediately go to Memorial Day as well. But no, I believe, Jacob, November 11th comes from Armistice Day, right?
You are absolutely correct, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. It all began with Armistice Day, the ending of World War I. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month was when the armistice finally kicked in to end World War I. I always thought that maybe they shouldn't have waited 11 hours for the symbolism, because I know, actually, I mean, it's kind of, it's a downer, but people did die during those last few hours getting to the symbolic 11th hour.
Right, exactly. Well, I do also remember as a kid having moment of silence at 11 a.m.
Which makes sense.
Right, 11 a.m., right? So,
wow.
Yeah.
Good symbolism, though, huh? I mean, it has stuck with us. So it became a national legal holiday in 1926, and then in 1954, after World War II and Korea, President Eisenhower changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day to recognize the last two big wars that came after World War I and made it a general all veterans holiday in the United States. Around the world, it's also known as Remembrance Day, but basically, because it started with World War I, it's actually a pretty worldwide recognized day for honoring veterans.
Wow. I did not know all of that info. Man.
It's what's Commonwealth Day in, is that correct, in Canada? I think it's also the 11th, and they wear those cool poppies.
Yes. Yeah. The poppy is a big symbol of Remembrance, Commonwealth, and Veterans Day. Not so much here, I guess, but I think
even
it's a
though,
good symbol.
Like, I guess, yeah, because it's about in Flanders Fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
Poppies. Anyways,
One of my things about the poppy, and I think the poppy is a good symbol, but in Kansas City, Missouri, they have the National World War I Museum where the entrance is over a big glass thing where you can look down beneath you and see a replica of the poppy fields and see that imagery. Pretty good stuff.
Powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah. Really recommend it to anybody who's interested in history, the Kansas City World War I Museum. I want to read to you what Dwight D. Eisenhower said when he changed the name to Veterans Day. Here you go. I don't have a great Eisenhower impression. Whenever I try to do it, I think I just kind of do Gerald Ford. So I'm gonna avoid that and just read it. I, Dwight D. Eisenhower, President of the United States of America, do hereby call upon all of our citizens to observe Thursday, November 11th, 1954, as Veterans Day. I assume he also meant this Veterans Day we should observe as well, not just the Thursday, 1954. On that day, let us solemnly remember the sacrifices of all those who fought so valiantly on the seas, in the air, and on foreign shores to preserve our heritage of freedom, and let us reconsecrate ourselves to the task of promoting an enduring peace so that their efforts shall not have been in vain. I'm a big fan of that way of presenting our Veterans Day. It's about respecting our veterans and honoring them and hoping we don't need more of them to go through that experience.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like Eisenhower nailed it on that one?
I think he nailed it on that, but I don't think we paid attention.
As far as I know, Tim, there have been no more wars since 1954. I think Ike really really finished it off.
The war to end all wars was successful. No.
Nah.
Unfortunately, Jacob,
throwing in that little twist there of, just in case anybody didn't catch that, you can only have a declared war by Congress. You can have lots of police actions and military interventions. And now it appears that you can, take out boats that are driving through the Caribbean if you think they have drugs.
Just like Ike would have wanted. But seriously, folks, it is Veterans Day. I wanted to start with the history a bit, get some of that purpose, not just remembering the wars, but having the purpose of caring about peace and wanting to perpetuate peace. Dr. Tim Slecker.
In fact, because of that, my father-in-law, a Vietnam veteran, my wife quickly today put out, we have a flag hanging out in front of our house today, which used to be one of those things that I can remember my father as a child, all the time, pulled out the flag, put it out on the flag. You know, we had a little kind of like angle thing on the side of the house and put it out there. And it was just something that you saw everywhere. I don't know if this is kind of like, remember back in the days when people actually cared, but we have a flag out in our front, the front of our house. And pulling in tonight from work, it's pretty awesome looking to see that flag hanging from our house. Just thought I'd put that out there.
If I could say, Tim, I've always felt a sense of patriotism because we have a cool looking flag and it makes me feel all happy to see it. And I've always been more in the camp where when I disagree with my fellow Americans or what my government's doing, I come down more on the, well, actually, it's my flag, too. I'm going to own it, too. I'm going to have this cool beach blanket with the flag on it. It's not just for people I disagree with. That's my patriotism plan. But moving forward from the history of Veterans Day, and I can see Tim's awesome house there. I actually see a bat flying in the background. Nice flag, Tim.
Yep, just had to show you.
I want to hit on some of our current stuff, what's going on in the world. And specifically, I want to talk about education and veterans, because I know that there's a lot of programs out there for veterans to get involved in education, a lot of ex-veterans getting into teaching. I kind of want to have kind of an open discussion with you two educated educators about some of the things you've been seeing. So maybe we can start off, Tim. Can you talk about just sort of some of the ex-veteran, or I guess you're always a veteran, but ex-military young students that you've been interacting with?
I've done this now at, and this will be the third institution working a lot with veterans. In fact, maybe even more so here. But, there is in I think almost, Johnny will probably say this too, all institutions of higher education, there's usually an Office of Veterans Affairs or something like that, where if you're a vet returning to college, you know, you get to hopefully the director of the vet center is themselves also a vet and can really lay out for you the different programs that are available, whether it's how to use money that they were put forth through some type of an enlistment program, GI bills, different types of things now. But more importantly now is the acknowledgement and recognition of that service and how it counts for what we're saying, credit for prior learning, so that, you know, you've done this, whether it's 4 years, 20 years, 34 years, bring that to the campus, because higher education now is saying that work that you did, that service that you mm-hmm. gave for the country, it's worth college credits, and let's see what we can work with to make the, you know, the service that you provided for the country, let's count it towards a college degree. I'm excited about that work. You know, I'm sure Johnny will point out though too, and veterans to teachers pathways were something that we've talked about in the past on Busted Pencils. So, I mean, I excited right there to acknowledge that type, again, that work, whether they were doing 4 years, 20 years, but that is not something that, hey, now that you're done with the service, would you like to come back to college and spend a whole lot of money to get a degree? Instead of saying, hey, you know what? Not only thanks for your service, but your service really does count here at this institution of higher education.
I know that one of the biggest difficulties that veterans have when they come home from their service is that transition from your previous life as a soldier being so different from your civilian life. I think that's a really great thing you're talking about there, Tim, of not just it's good to have the credits, but it's good to recognize that your previous life and your new one, there's a synergy there. Your old skills mm-hmm. can apply to what you're going to do now. I think that's a great transition to help with the veterans. And Tim, if you could inform me, because this is your expertise, not mine, but I've always felt that there's a lot of issues out there for veterans, whether it's talking about access to mental health care, access to housing, the job market. But one thing that, as an outsider, neither a veteran or a teacher, I've always felt had a pretty good reputation was the educational opportunities for veterans. That always seems like something that vets actually do get what they were promised, roughly. Am I getting that right? I mean, is that a good situation?
Yeah, you're right. But here's where that Office of Veterans Affairs on any of the campus comes by. Hey, guess what? You know, other than the institution making some types of, you know, credit for prior learning deals, but there are lots of resources that vets were promised through their enlistment, through their service, through their commitment, through different things. And hey, guess what? It's the federal government. And sometimes accessing all of those resources that they were promised, It's a bit of a puzzle, a maze, a metric, matrix that really requires dedicated personnel. And so I was just at a workshop last weekend with having two vets that are currently going through our public higher education system. And their pitch was to say how important the Office of Veterans Affairs are on campuses, because whether it's a GI Bill, whether it was a $10,000 signing bonus, how it can be apportioned across the total number of credits that are there. You know, there are with the federal government, guess what? There are lots of rules. And so to access those resources, that's where that Office of Veterans Affairs really comes in handy. That's what I got right now.
I don't think anybody here on the show would claim that higher education is perfect in everything that you guys try to do at institutions. But I would say that a strength of your average university is having lots of advisors who are happy to talk to you, having an open office that you can come ask questions at. So in that way, I am at least encouraged to say at a university, this complicated process shouldn't be so complicated, but you could probably find Susan at the help desk who will talk to you and try to guide you. And that is encouraging. I want to ask you, Johnny, you're an educated educator who educates educators. Can you tell us a bit more about the vets to teaching pathway and pipeline there?
Well, I mean, you know, they exist, and I think Tim touched on it. At least at the institutions I've worked at and that I'm familiar with, there isn't a specific pathway designated for veterans.
Okay.
However, though, through like GI Bill, Pell Grants, different things like more recently, I think the Yellow Ribbon programs and things like that, that help, you know, fund, you know, people who have given their service, and then they can apply that, you know, educational benefits package to whatever kind of degree they want to get. And I think in some contexts, it's becoming a teacher. I don't see it as frequently as some of the other career pathways, but definitely it's an option for folks. And, you know, like we've talked about alternate pathways to teaching, having degree programs that are just more accessible, that aren't only for 18-year-olds, right? That are 19 to 21-year-olds that aren't, you know, all in-person classes 5 days a week during the week. So I think as more of those alternate pathways to teaching programs grow, they most certainly find themselves with what I'll kind of categorize as a non-traditional student. So there's a mixture, and over the 20 some years I've been in higher ed, right, there's been a strong mixture, different universities, different kind of demographics, but there's been a small mix of some undergrads, some traditional undergrad students that are just, you know, finishing their service and starting school, as to like more seasoned, you know, adults. So older students who are, you know, maybe they just didn't do the minimum service. Maybe they had a career in the services, in the military or in the Navy or the, you know, the Air Force. And they are, you know, transitioning from one career to another. And so seeing a lot of those really great attributes. Love the move of more and more higher education institutions, you know, finding ways to count service as credit, right? It's not the same as a degree, but certainly some of the objectives we have in a, you know, undergraduate degree, you probably picked up through your training, through the courses you took in the military, through your service, through your, you know, traveling, or I won't call it traveling, right? Through the work you've done around the world. It includes travel, but I don't want to, you know, make it sound like people into the service and they go on vacation by any means, right? But that world-mindedness and that global perspective that we often, you know, look to curriculum to supplement, you know, they're oftentimes in classrooms, you know, a valuable source of sharing global and world perspectives. So I love that more institutions are finding ways to count credit, that service as credit, not only to, you know, provide financial benefits packages to people who serve so that they can, you know, go to school and like re-career, if you want to call it that, or change careers, or in so many contexts, apply what they thrived and found joy in the services, in the armed services, to a civilian job, right? So you may have found yourself like you really enjoyed, you know, sharing your knowledge with others and teaching, you know, newer members of your team how to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And so you could become a teacher. Likewise, you might be an engineer, right? Pre-engineering, you've done a lot of civil engineering work, you know, in your service. I could go on and on with students that I meet who serve, especially on a week like this, when we can remind and thank them for that service. It's always special, but always asking students when you see them in uniform or you find out that they've served, you know, asking them, hey, what's your program? What degree are you getting? Why? When did you know you wanted to become a computer programmer? Like, when did you? And I can tell you, in those conversations, almost always at one point in their
experience in the service. They really found joy in success, or they really thrived at a particular thing. That, like Tim said, folks, either they came right out of their service and entered higher education with that focus, or in conversations with support, like Jacob, you talked about advisors, and Tim talked about, you know, offices of veteran affairs and different ways to support students. You know, having those conversations, key, huge, because they become such an integral part of our college campuses and obviously of our communities.
I want to ask you this, Johnny, just something I've been thinking about during our conversation. It started with what Tim said about being able to apply some of your practical life experience from your previous work and get credit for it. And it made me think, you know, is that something by helping veterans with that? Is that, can that help lead the way to recognizing other forms of experience for people coming in from perhaps a previous career and getting credit for some of those things? And wider than that, it gets me thinking, well, we've got a higher veteran presence at our school. That might encourage to have better mental health facilities at our school. It might help get more advisors. Is there a way in which veterans actually help push some of these good things that later trickle out to everybody?
I mean, I would say, yeah, that's that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's veterans leading the charge on this, and it ought to be. Kind of come to the flip side of this, where we talk about how great and important it is to remember and honor, you know, those who serve, and how much we're excited and we love these programs that fund, you know, veterans to go back to school, or because I'll say they do a fair amount of coursework, you know, and their service. You don't just like sign up, hey, I'm going to be, you know, this guy, I'm going to be in charge of, you know, heating and cooling over here on these submarines, and I don't need to know anything to do it. They just kind of stand me here. You know, like there's a lot of studying, there's a lot of schoolwork, there's a lot of learning. And so I think counting that as credit is a no-brainer. I would like to say, Jacob, it's being pioneered on that front. Because it's been around for a little while. But overall, I'm always in general concerned with the way that we don't necessarily support our veterans. I think Tim mentioned that at the beginning of the show, you know, give credit to like this, it's not even like starting over when they fold into your courses, right? When they fold into like a higher ed degree, they have such a unique pathway and contribution to our democracy and our society that, like, you know, I know it sounds silly on a holiday, and that maybe silly is not the right word, but like, you know, it's kind of the right thing to say on these days, but really all days of the year at all moments, right? I would love to have these conversations really be about, okay, so how is this unique student pathway so highly valuable to our educational community? Because I know as a student and also as a teacher, you know, it's brought so much value to both me as a learner, as a student, to have veterans in class, to have like friends who, you know, came through a different pathway than I did, share their worldviews and their experiences. And that's a big, big part of going to college, is having those classroom discussions with people who have different culture than you, who you know, have different life experiences than you. And our veterans bring such an important, and Tim can probably attest to this, having taught lots of vets as well. Like, I mean, some of the most thoughtful and wise perspectives on world politics, right? And on compared, like just talking education, comparative education stuff, you know, being able to share like, hey, when I was stationed here, you know, this is what the schools were kind of like, or this is what it was like, you know, to be in particular when I was, you know, becoming a teacher and then teaching, what it was like to be, you know, in the conflicts in the Middle East, right? What life was like for kids going to school in Afghanistan, right? And so it really brings that human level to both, you know, times of conflict and times of peace, but to world differences, that I always very early on realized this is something extra special and valuable. So I love to see it part of our college experiences, our college campuses, not to instrumentalize the surface.
Yeah. Tim, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to field one for me?
I am ready, Jacob.
All right.
Totally ready.
So Johnny was kind of hitting on it there, talking about, you know, a lot of the great value that veterans contribute to classrooms that they're in. I want to ask you if you could give a piece of advice or some wisdom to our fellow teachers or to our fellow administrators out there about what they can do, in your opinion, to really serve their veterans and help get not only deliver the best education to veterans, but also get value from their veterans to their fellow students.
Well, I mean, first thing is, and this is actually, I hate, you know, say this from this standpoint, is that anytime we're bringing in any student, it's the value of that advising and serving their needs to put that forward and acknowledging that and seeing individual students for what it is that they're bringing to this idea of potentially saying, I'm going to get back into higher education, or I'm going to start. But, you know, from a leadership standpoint, what I've seen now in looking at those Veterans Affairs offices is to really put as much effort and resource, and I mean this resource, if you have it, because guess what? Those offices, I've seen them now, are again, shoestring budgets, you know, and the reason they're so successful is because of the committed directors that I've worked with who themselves were veterans, who are there and really understand what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it. And so anytime, you know, any leader, particularly on campus, if you have an opportunity, first of all, stop into the Vet Center, meet the director of Veterans Affairs, and one of the things, check out who's also typically hanging there if there is like a lounge or a place for the veterans, because you'll be fascinated, I think, to hear their stories, why they're there and what they're doing. And what is it? Ask the question. What would make the transition, you know, whether it's, you know, you've been overseas for this amount of time, you've come out of a conflict, but now, you know, let's ask those questions because they matter, and take those students' perspectives very seriously and treat that Office of Veterans Affairs with just as much respect and acknowledgement as you can.
Thank you very much, Tim. That was fantastic. Good show. Unfortunately, ice storm over Johnny. We've lost him for the remainder of this episode. But I want to say to you, Tim, and to Johnny, thank you so much for coming on your own show. I always appreciate it so much, because here on the Producer's Choice Show, we're nothing without great guests like you guys.
Oh, Jacob, I really, every week to be invited on my own show is just something. When I see that invitation, I'm like, oh my gosh, here I am again being invited on my own show. And I'm so happy to be able to do it.
Tim, it's something that a lot of hosts don't get to experience, being invited onto their own show to be a guest. And I just wanted to do that for you.
I gotta wonder, Jacob, too, is like how many other hosts of their own show ever get invited to be a guest on their own show. I'm going to maybe put out there that Jacob and, you know, the chairman of the board, producer's choice, inviting the host to their own show. I have a feeling you might be one that stands out as maybe one of the only producer's choice hosts that invites guests.
Tim, you're spiraling out of control on this last part of the show.
I just want to point out how special you are, Jacob.
Thank you very much. And as somebody who's been broadcasting for a long time myself, I know that it is way more fun to be a guest on somebody's show than to have to create your bullet point list and plan out a program. You just show up. Hey, what? The show starts in 4 seconds? Yeah, I just sat down. Whatever. You're the host. I'm the guest. Let's just do it. That is how it goes. But we've got time for this last thing, and you and I are going to do it.
Let's go.
60 seconds. We're going to say a quick shout out to a vet here on Veterans Day week. I'm going to go first because I'm the host and I get to control everything with this magic board. Want to say, hey, my two grandpas, Jim and Dave, both veterans, Navy and Air Force. Thank you for the service. Much appreciated. I always enjoy the stories that I've heard from your time in the service. And to all our veterans out there listening today and to the families of veterans, happy Veterans Day. And now you, Dr. Tim.
Hey, to my cousin Ray and my cousin Dave, they're brothers. My cousin Dave, Vietnam veteran, my cousin Ray, 20 full years in the Marines, all the time. Thanks, you two. And really, really get to enjoy being your cousin, man.
Awesome. And on that, Tim, I think there's time for one thing.
You know, the moment of Zen. By now, we have reached a point in human history when the means of war have become so horrible that they exceed any possible good that come out of using those means. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in to Producer's Choice. Enjoy the show. Make sure you hang out the next day, Saturday. It's Tim and Johnny, one full hour of Busted Pencils, and then come back the following week, Monday. Oh, you know, it's homeroom. Wednesday, classes in session, and holy crap, it will be Friday again before you know it for another Producer's Choice. Check it out. Go to the Civic Media page. See us there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BustedPencils.com. You know, Jacob, and here's what I got to point out to everybody. Please, everybody, keep busting pencils.